This fifth presentation, What Else You Can Do in Your Family, is presented by Harriet Grissom.
Advent is often a time when social pressures and commercial pressures collide to give us a big headache instead of being a time for reflection and introspection. There are parties we're supposed to go to and special concerts. There are church benefits and bazaars to take part in. And aside from all that, there's a pressure of Madison Avenue that reminds us that we ought to buy more, whether we have the money or not. There's also a lot of emotional pressure at Christmas time. Most of us, I think, have really strong feelings about how we'd like to celebrate. We have ideals that we want to live up to, and a sort of atmosphere that we hope that we can create in our celebrations. And a lot of times, we really knock ourselves out to do it. We stay up all night baking cookies and pies, or building toys, or cleaning and decorating. And it's not that there's anything intrinsically wrong with all this activity, except that in the midst of it, it's really easy to forget the point of it all, which is, of course, Christ's birth. Now, traditionally, Advent is seen as a time to really sit down and think about the meaning of Christ's birth and to decide what we need to do in response to that monumental event. It's a time of personal self-examination, too, to really look at our own lives and our priorities and see how they match up to our Christian ideals. And, of course, that's not always easy. It goes, to some extent, it really goes against the notion that Christmas is a joyous time, because a lot of times when we look into our own lives, we have reason not to feel so joyous and to feel like we need to change. But this kind of reflection that's part of the traditional Advent observance is bound to make us think twice about how we're going to celebrate Christmas. It's going to make us ask whether we're really in touch with the meaning of Christ's birth, or whether we're just indulging ourselves and our families in a kind of materialism that Christ warned about. The Advent scriptures raise hard questions. And if we really want to change the way we celebrate, observing Advent seriously is a good way to begin. Now, even better than observing Advent by yourself and reading the Advent scriptures or listening to the scriptures in church is to get together with your family or some close friends and plan Advent observances. Now, the first thing that's good about this is that it gives you a support system, and that's something that you're really going to need if you intend to buck the commercialized Christmas tradition in this country and try to do something different, because there's a huge amount of pressure on all of us to go out and buy lots of presents and spend more money than we have and become all wrapped up in commercialism. And if you get with your family and your friends, this will help you to avoid that. And Advent observances with family and friends are also a really good forum for sharing ideas about how you could change your Christmas celebration and talking about your hopes for how it could be different. And it's also a good way to talk about the kinds of misgivings you have about the whole thing and about your frustrations in trying to change. A lot of times we're led to feel that if we decide not to give so many Christmas presents or to do away with Santa Claus, we're led to feel that we're going off the deep end, and it's helpful to have friends and family to give us feedback on that. Sharing Advent observances with family and friends is also a really good way to come up with some new traditions to replace the old commercialized traditions. And of course, this isn't something that you can make up on your own. You really need to work in a group to come up with new traditions. If you decide that you do want to get together with your family to observe Advent, the first thing you have to do is to pick a regular time to meet. Now, this isn't going to be easy. It'll be the first challenge because, as we've said, Advent's a terrifically hectic sort of time, and there are lots of things going on, as well as all the regular things that different people will have to do. but you have to really make a pact that nothing else is going to interfere with the Advent gathering. And commitment is very important. It's a way for everybody in the group to say that we're going to take Advent seriously this year and make it a very important part of our Christmas celebration. Once you've decided on a time that everyone can get together, you might want to try to think of some people who are outside your family or your circle of friends. These could be people that wouldn't have anybody else to get together with, like elderly people who are far away from their families, people who are newly divorced or single parents. There may even be refugees in your community that are facing a very lonely holiday season. And you might even want to invite a homeless person from a soup kitchen or a shelter to sit down with your group and to prepare for Advent. Now, the reason for doing this isn't just to help out a lonely person, but this will really add a lot of depth and a lot of meaning to your discussions and your activities. And it'll give you a different perspective when you talk about the Advent scriptures. Now, these meetings during Advent should really focus on the scriptures themselves, and you're going to want to read them aloud and, of course, discuss them, and plan some activities that will help you to understand them and relate to them better. We're going to suggest some activities on this tape, but you might also be able to think of some things that you'd enjoy doing on your own. The Advent scriptures are really, really difficult a lot of times. They're very perplexing, and sometimes they seem anything but joyous. So you really need to read them ahead of time and think about them before the meeting so that when you come to the meeting, you'll be prepared to talk about them and share your reflections. Each of the Advent scriptures for the different weeks in Advent deals with a different aspect of preparation to celebrate Christ's birth. All of the scriptures are really designed to turn our attention away from the world as it is, what we experience every day, what we think of as the dog-eat-dog world. And they're supposed to turn us toward the world as Christ promised it would be. And the scriptures kind of work on us in a progressive fashion to get us to really understand that vision that Christ offered to the world. And it's really a radical vision, so we need preparation, and we need to sort of wrench ourselves away from our normal reality if we're going to understand that vision. Now, in the sessions that we're going to talk about, what we're striving for is to apply the Advent scriptures right to our immediate lives. There's a lot of abstract talk you can do about the Advent scriptures, and I think that's interesting and important. But we're especially interested in how these scriptures apply to what we're doing from day to day, and especially how they apply to our efforts to challenge and change Christmas celebrations. The thought behind this is if we can really consciously change the way we celebrate to make it more authentic, then perhaps we can also consciously change how we live generally. So there's more to the idea of changing Christmas celebrations than just making our celebrations more authentic. It's a way of perhaps a way of changing our whole lives, or beginning to change our whole lives. The first week in Advent focuses on Matthew 24, 36 through 44, and this is the passage that compares Noah's building of the ark to the Christian's preparation for the coming of Christ's kingdom. Now, we all know the story of Noah. Noah is told by God to build an ark, and of course it's sunny outside and no one else understands what on earth he's doing, and people are partying and having a good time and don't see why Noah's putting all this effort into building this ark. But Noah is a good steward of the vision that God offers him, and he goes ahead, and of course when the rains come, Noah loads on his family and animals and is saved, and everyone else drowns. One thing that's fun to do, especially if you have children, but even adults enjoy doing this sort of thing from time to time, and that's to act out the story of Noah. You'll need a Noah and somebody to be the mocking villagers and have Noah thumping away on his ark and all the villagers making fun of him and dancing around and singing and having a good time. And you can get somebody to be the thunder and the lightning, and when the moment comes, they'll flash the lights and make loud thunder noises, and you might want to have a few animals to load on the ark. So do this little play about Noah, and then sit down and ask yourselves these questions about the passages. We can see in what this passage says that Christians are expected to live differently than other people. Now, we might want to ask, why is that? Why does Christ ask us to live differently than other people? And that's probably not easy to answer, but it might be important to talk about. And talk about how it feels to be different. And it's important to get the children in on this, because if you're really going to change your Christmas celebration, they're going to be affected quite a lot, because they're going to be having a different experience than a lot of the other kids at school. So get them to talk about how it feels to be different, and talk about the positive aspects of that experience as well as the negative aspects. And then get specific and talk about what it's going to mean to do something altogether different at Christmas. Now, probably people are going to have a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of apprehension, too, and I think that's normal. And it's probably important to avoid threatening members of your family or your group who may have more hesitations than others. Try to reassure them that it's not going to be a complete catastrophe. Now, talk about some of the things that you think you might do differently. Probably the most obvious thing is to change the pattern of Christmas gift giving that our commercialized society forces. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't give any Christmas presents at all. What it does mean is that we try to get away from the thing of saying, well, last year Aunt Emily gave me a pair of gloves worth $7, and this year I need to give Aunt Emily something worth $7. Now, nobody much likes to admit it, but we all know that this goes on in our minds when we go out to do Christmas shopping. And I think that's something that we can at least begin to try to overcome by thinking of gifts that are really personal and somehow especially significant for the person that we give them to. I mean, Aunt Emily might really enjoy a letter telling her about all the good times we remember having at her house or something like that instead of a $7 gift. Another thing that you might want to consider is having less extravagance in your Christmas celebrations. Now, we all know that we're pushed to buy more food and more drink and spend a lot of money on decorations and so forth at Christmas time. And we can talk about some of the ways that we can cut back on that expense. And the thing that can really encourage us in trying to cut back on that expense is to realize that what we save by making one pie instead of five pies, by having perhaps just one turkey instead of having a turkey and a ham, all of that money that we save, we can divert to someone who really needs it. If you can decide on a family or an organization or a group that you think is very worthwhile and decide to give everything that you save to that group, you'll have a goal for saving money on your Christmas celebration, and that can be quite joyous. Now, it's also really important to plan a special birthday gift for Jesus. And as we go through talking about the Advent scriptures, I think that we'll get a better idea of what sort of gift that might be. It's clear that Jesus came to serve people who were disadvantaged, and anything that we can do not just to give money, but also to give our time and our skills to help in efforts to serve those people. It could be a good birthday gift for Jesus. So get people to start thinking about what they would like to give. You might like to make an Advent wreath as well. Now, there are all kinds of ways to make Advent wreaths, but basically what you need is some greenery and 4 purple candles and 1 white candle. And you just make basically a green wreath and put the candles around it. It's good to know what some of the symbolism is in the Advent wreath. The roundness of the wreath stands for God's never-ending love. And the greenery reminds us of life. The purple candle suggests the royalty of Christ, and the white candle stands for Christ himself. Now what you do is that you light 1 Advent candle each week, and you save the white candle for Christmas Day. Some families like to have the youngest child light the first Advent candle, and then the next oldest, and so forth. And you'll also want to say a prayer after you light the Advent candle and end each session with a prayer. You can use the prayers that Catherine and Justo Gonzalez wrote especially for these Advent scriptures, or you might want to make up your own prayers that can really express the concerns and issues that the group has raised during this particular session. The second week in Advent deals with the scripture from Matthew 3:1-12. And this is John the Baptist harangue, warning everybody to repent. It's really quite a harsh scripture, and he especially warns the religious teachers and the leaders of the nation of Israel. Now, these are the very people who think of themselves as the chosen people, so this gives us a lot to think about. If we feel like somehow we're good Christians, so we don't have to work quite so hard as other folks, then John is telling us that we'd better rethink the whole situation. Now, to repent means to turn around. And what we need to ask ourselves at this point is, how are Christians expected to go in a different direction than the rest of the world? And when we talk about how we observe Christmas, that's one good way of talking about how we're expected to go in a different direction. And we can talk about how changing our Christmas celebration could be a place to begin going in a different direction. During this session, you can get everybody in the group to think about things they'd like to change. First of all, in themselves. Now, people may or may not want to talk about this. A lot of times, we're not particularly anxious to reveal the parts of ourselves that bother us the most, but it's good to think about it and share it if you feel willing to. Next, you want to think about ways that you can change your way of celebrating, ways that you'd like to change how you celebrate. And third, since John the Baptist does talk about the need of the whole nation of Israel to change, we might want to think about ways that our nation needs to change as a whole. Once you've thought through these things as a group, it might be fun to perhaps act out some of the things you'd like to change in a kind of before and after scenario. This might be easier with things about the celebration that you'd like to change. You could show yourself standing there in the department store debating over whether to get the $8 slippers or the $12 billfold, and then do an after that shows some other sort of activity that's more in keeping with Christmas. Now, there's a nice ritual that's supposed to help people change, and it involves washing each other's hands. And what you can do is get the group to divide off into pairs and get a bowl of water that's large enough to dip your hands in and pass it between the pairs. Now, the first person in the group will sit back and close his or her eyes and think about the things that he or she would like to change about the way that they're living. And the other person will wash their hands while they think about it, and then you trade positions. And after each pair in the group has done this, the whole group says together, God loves you and gives you a new beginning. This would be a good time to sing some happy songs as a group. The third week in Advent talks about Jesus' special concern for people that society tends to disregard. This scripture is Matthew 11:2-11. The people that Jesus was concerned about were really the blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, and the poor. These were the ones that he came to help. Now we have to ask some really hard questions. How do our Christmas celebrations affect poor people and other marginal people? Now this is one that can really offend people. And Jesus even says in the scripture that some people are going to be offended by his attention to disadvantaged people. People say, well, this is supposed to be a happy time of year, and why do we have to think about all the hungry people and all the poor people? Can't we just have a joyous celebration for once? But clearly, Christ has called upon us to think about these people, especially at this time of year. Now, one way to get everybody to think more about this is to get some magazines and cut out pictures that show poor people and how they live, their houses and their clothes and the kinds of activities that they're involved in, and then cut out more affluent people and show their houses and their clothes and the kinds of activities that they're involved in, and then get a big cardboard circle and cut it in half and glue the pictures of the poor people to one half of the circle and the pictures of the affluent people to the other half of the circle. This is a time when it might be good to talk turkey about Santa Claus customs. This is a sensitive issue, and you may feel that your children aren't ready to sit down and hear that Santa Claus is a fraud, and it may be that you yourself are not ready to say that to them. But decide where you're at about it, and at least have your children think about children who are poor or who might be left out of things at Christmas time. You can also talk about the story of St. Nicholas and how he left gifts for poor children originally. And you could also talk about what sort of gifts that you could give as a group or as individuals to people you know who need help. And you need not just think about poor people or homeless people, but you might want to think of people in your own neighborhood or in your own classroom who could use your consideration. Once you've had this discussion, you can put the cutouts of the rich people and the poor people together and show by doing that that Jesus really came for everyone. Matthew 1:18-25, which is the fourth week's Advent scripture, deals with Joseph's confusion over the fact that his bride-to-be has already been chosen to be the mother of Christ. Now, Joseph is quite an ordinary guy, and here he's called upon to accept a situation that really goes beyond the bounds of common sense. He's about to marry somebody, he finds out that she's going to have a baby, and then an angel comes and tells him that it's the Son of God. Now, this is quite a situation, and I think sometimes we feel a little bit like Joseph when we're faced with doing things that go against the grain. We just want to say, gosh, can't life just be normal for once? Can't we just go along and do what everybody else does? Why are we constantly faced with these wild situations? Now, once everybody's expressed their frustration with that and their perplexity, you might want to talk about what the rewards of doing things differently are. Now, at this point, people are probably feeling a lot of special pressure to go out and buy stuff, kind of last-minute gifts. If you've decided to give alternative gifts, you may be having second thoughts and wondering if you don't really need to go out and buy that $8 pair of slippers instead of sending this crazy old letter off to Aunt Emily. Now, I think if you can get everybody to talk about the things that they're doing instead of giving the usual Christmas gifts and share your enthusiasm about that, that you'll give people in the group a lot of support and ease a lot of worries. And you'll also want to talk at this time about what you're planning to give as a special birthday gift for Jesus. As part of this session's activities, you might want to draw names so that each person has a name and write a letter to the person whose name you've drawn and tell them exactly what the things are that you appreciate about them the most. And you could either give them these letters sometime after the session, or you might want to present them on Christmas Day and read them aloud. By the time Christmas comes, if you've done every one of these sessions, you've probably been thinking of things all along that you want to do on Christmas Day that are special. But do be sure to read the Christmas story in Luke 2:1-20. You might want to act out the story by using a creche or using dolls or cutting out figures while somebody reads aloud. Now, if all this seems like too much trouble, you might even get the people in your family or your group to put on a play to the narration of the Christmas story. Singing carols and playing musical instruments or reading Christmas stories are all really great alternatives to just sitting around and ripping open packages. But however you decide to celebrate on Christmas Day, your Advent preparations are going to have helped you to remember whose birthday it is. And I think that's the secret to a truly Merry Christmas.
This concludes this presentation.